I do a little Wham this morning to get us going. Yes, yes, yes. Not going solo, going dancing. It's Monday. Talking about dancing? Monday morning? What is going on, right? But you know what? I'm just so excited to be here. Monday. I love Mondays. I'm going to be honest, though. My body's not loving Mondays right now, but I'm loving Mondays. Does that count as anything? So glad to be on here today. I'm Jennifer Lamprey, CEO of I Love My Body Diet. I'm grateful to have you on. I'm also really grateful for this topic today. How was your weekend, everyone? I hope it was wonderful, fabulous, amazing, and hope that you were able to really have some peace and joy and feel that you could love yourself a little bit more this weekend. So this topic, I think, may not be too exciting to many. I'm going to be honest, though. This is my, I guess it's words, my phrase, self-reliance is my word for the year of 2016. I am fully and completely focused on this word next year, and I'm going to go into more detail of why that is, and I guess just share of the reasoning behind it. Really, there's a reason why I have this as my focus next year, and obviously focusing on it now too, but really, really step into it next year. excuse me. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of the, and again, if anybody that is on, just to let you know, would love for you to share as this next 30 minutes goes on, you just push one. I grew up not really needing for much. I also grew up knowing about work and understanding that work was important. I watched my dad work from he would leave early in the morning, come back late at night. My mom worked hard in the home. She cooked, she cleaned, she did it all. I mean, she was a great example, and she allowed me to step in and really had me do some of that work. And excuse me for one second. and my dad, I think, were great examples. My dad actually built our homes when I was younger. My mom decorated them and helped to build them. He built our swimming pools. He was a swimming pool builder, and we, you know, they started different businesses and stuff together too. And I was always there, you know, watching and really aware of what my parents were doing. They really did work hard. I grew up with that kind of mentality and understanding and energy around me. And so for me, being the oldest, especially of four children, I learned work ethic. But I will say one of the things that I never was really taught was how to deal or handle my money, how to use it to really create financial success in my life. So I learned the great tool of work, but definitely did not, which I think a lot of people in the world, especially my generation, maybe didn't learn those things. I don't think that was something that was taught a lot to parents, to teach your kids about the financial aspects. And we don't learn it in school. We, you know, it's something that's not really taught. So I as time went on, one of the things I was really particular about is I didn't want to have credit cards when I was younger. You know, I worked when I was 15, was making money every month, and was able to even step into tennis. I helped buy my own car, my grandma, and paid her back. And just felt that I was very responsible as far as that went. When I came home from, I went on a mission. When I came home from my mission, I actually, I didn't really know what to do with myself at that point. I wanted to get married, though. I really wanted to get married. And when I thought about marriage, it kind of felt as if the financial aspect of my life took a back seat, meaning I didn't feel like that really, I worried about that too much. So marriage, I wouldn't say that it was my answer to my financial woes or even just giving me that security. But it was kind of one of the things I just naturally, I think because I grew up and my mom didn't work necessarily outside of the home, but she did work inside the home, like I said, cooked and helped build the houses that my dad was building for us and really worked hard inside our home. So for me, that was just an automatic thing. You know, you married and your husband worked and you did what you did in the home and you made sure the home looked nice and you did the cooking and the cleaning and you took care of the kids. And that's just naturally what I thought you did. Well, as time went on, I ended up in a divorce, and in that divorce situation, well, actually was separated the first time I was separated in 2000. And the reality that I would have to take care of myself financially really hit me in the face. Ended up was also pregnant at that time. And so I went to massage school and started just feeling that at least I had something that I could depend on as I got, if anything were to happen and I had to separate or divorce. And so I went through that process, but I ended up getting divorced, and in that time did start an office in my own home because I had two children then, four years old and 6 months old. And I was determined, again, because of that growing up of watching my mom and living in this environment with my mom being a stay-at-home mom, yet still working very hard, I was determined to be a stay-at-home mom, even divorced, even with knowing that I had to create an income. Well, we ended up with a foreclosure, a home that I had lived in for about 2 years after the divorce, and was very devastating. And in that time, really struggled with understanding what self-reliance really was. I ended up stacked up about $100,000 in debt plus the foreclosure of my home. And to be honest, I mean, I really just felt like I was in survival mode. I didn't have any savings. We had to do what we had to do and in order to survive. And I was struggling, wanting to stay at home and work, but I did end up taking a waitressing job. So my kids would go with their dad at night and I would waitress. And so I was home with my kids during the day. So I was able to keep somewhat of that commitment that I had made to myself and my kids. but during that time, I think that for me, the work aspect really and dreaming and imagining and moving forward and getting educated and doing those things were very, very key to me. I didn't have a lot of plans. I can't say that I had tons of plans. I did do the best I could. But ended up getting remarried, and I came with all of my debt. I came with no savings. I came with no credit cards. I came with just me, basically, and making a little bit of money every month and surviving, and had lived with my parents for a while with my two girls. I just want to share some of my story, and so as these last few years have gone by, 4 years now since I've been remarried, I feel good in that I'm able to really step into this phrase self-reliance and understand at even a deeper level what it really is. And I've really been a student of this is. And as I look back in my life, I think that I've been taught what self-reliance is since I was a child, as I talked about just being, you know, the oldest and working hard and watching my family and just being somebody who works very hard, very diligent. I definitely have that in my blood and am that. And so I wanted to talk about, again, I was telling those that are new, that are just come on, just talking about why self-reliance is going to be my phrase, or, you know, people have a word for the year. That really is something I felt very strongly about this last couple weeks. That is going to be my whole energy for 2016. So I wanted to go through a little bit why that is. And I am sure that there are those of you that obviously understand what self-reliance is and maybe are completely living in that energy, in that space. For those of you that are on, if you want to hop on, just push one and we can just be in discussion too. I would love to hear what your thoughts and feelings are around this. Because I learn more, step in, and actually act more, I realize the power that this has in our lives to actually create more stability, and in the stability and clarity, and in those two things creates more freedom and peace. And I think sometimes what I have done in my life is, and again, I've done what I've done and felt inspired with what I've felt inspired with, but I think I've gone backwards a lot of times. I've actually done things a little bit backwards. And, you know, as I'm realizing these things, I'm seeing that actually really creating plans and creating a financial, you know, stability, creating a future, doing all these different things, which we'll talk about and some specifics about that, actually can help me to balance myself and really even helps me step out of the anxiety of life, because there's a lot of anxiety that can come in for me personally. But I wanted to talk about a couple things. There's actually four things I want to talk about today. And let me just say these, and then I think that's Colette. I would love for you to come on, Colette. The four things I want to go through today a little bit is make a plan, and I want to go into a little more detail about what that plan might be. So I'm actually going to be sharing what my intention and what I'm planning on doing next year, and what I'm doing the next 2 months to set myself up for success for next year, to really have an amazing year and to achieve the goals that I want, to achieve my intentions, and to really like leave 2016 really standing tall and strong on this self-reliance energy. So make a plan. We'll go into more detail. Work, which I've talked a little bit about already, emotional state, and then support. And I want to definitely talk about inside the support, where you get support and how you get support around this. So we're going to talk about those four things. Is this Colette? Hello.
This is Colette. Hey, Jen.
Hi, Colette.
Okay, so I love the four things you're mentioning, because as you were talking about self-reliance, the thought that kept coming to me is self-reliance is so important. But when we hear the term self-reliance, a lot of times people will think, that means I have to do everything by myself. And I thought, no, what it is godly self-reliance. What that means is we have to rely on God to do the things that we can't control or to help us in the situations that we cannot control. And then we work and do the best that we can in the things that we can control.
Mm-hmm.
And I love your four steps. Sounds like they're totally going to follow that. And so I
love
it.
Yeah. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Colette, because I didn't think about that, to be honest with you, when I really stepped in. I haven't even had that thought about self-reliance being something that might show up for people as, you know, having to really be, well, all about self. But the reality is, and this is the reality, is that this is what God's asking us to do. He is asking us to, and we just had a lesson in church about this yesterday, which is really funny, because this has been something I've been thinking about a lot lately, especially because we're starting this beta, you know, prosperity mastermind today. And so it's like, I've been thinking about it. And in that, it talks a lot about, you know, stepping in and really doing this, making these things happen, obviously relying on God. But I think the thing that, and this is what I want to talk about, is we do have a lot of resources to be able to figure this stuff out. And I do believe that God wants us, he wants us to take ownership of our minds, to know that we actually have the ability to make these things happen. I'm realizing, and I'm going to be really honest here, I'm realizing that I have been in levels I didn't even see, and I am seeing more and more, acting as if a victim to circumstances or to the world or to even using God as a scapegoat. I'm going to be really honest. I mean, it may sound pretty harsh, but I mean, this is straight up what I have been going through. And as I'm, again, coming out of this and realizing, wait, really, God is asking me to, he really is asking me to make the plan, to work hard, to get my emotional state in, you know, in balance, to get the support. And it takes certain things to do that. And so I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think there is this understanding of, it's kind of like, you know, you do all you can do and then you give the rest to God, like, you know, we know really, or opposite, right? how I know President Hinckley on his mission, his dad said, you know, you pray and then you get up and you work. I love that one. That's one of my favorites. So,
I think one of the things I've always loved is you work as if everything depends on you, but you pray as if everything depends on God. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, I love that too. That's
God and trust in Him.
It's so true. And so I want to go through, this is what I feel I really want to talk about first. The first step, I believe, and I think that's what we're doing in the I Love My Body Diet program, is we're getting emotional support. So, because sometimes, and we know that money actually can be ruled by our emotions, meaning, you know, we could have $1 million and still be miserable and still be spending money on stuff that really isn't supporting us and really isn't creating self-reliance. We could have all the money in the world and still not, you know, be feeling self-reliant. Because to me, self-reliant, and this is the big piece to me, for me, is it creates more freedom and it creates more peace. And those are the two things that I'm looking for next year, is peace and freedom, like real freedom. And so people that, and if you look at yourself, if you look at your life right now with money, and what is kind of ruling our decisions, our money-making decisions, or, you know, when we save or when we pay our, you know, our tithing or whatever people outside might be calling that, where are we coming from when we do that, you know? I don't know if you have anything to share about that, Colette, about the emotional aspect of money and even self-reliance.
Well, it's interesting. When you think about money in that aspect, is I guess the first thing I'm thinking about is the exact definition of self-reliance. You may have said that. I got on just a little late, so I may have missed that part. But when we, you know, define in that definition of self-reliance, first being that, does that mean that, or at least this is the way I'm thinking of it, that in a situation, in any situation in life, if something comes up or something happens, that we are able to fall back on the resources or whatever it is that we have set up for ourselves, mm-hmm. that makes it self-reliant, so that we can continue on and be strong. In the event of that. Is that mm-hmm. definition-wise what we're looking at?
Yes. I mean, that's part of the definition. You know what? When I was looking at the definition, I really wasn't finding too much that I was really... I think self-reliance definitely, exactly what you're saying, is that we are able to... Well, we're able to take care of ourselves in situations. We don't have to, you know, look to other people... And again, this to me too, self-reliance, see, for me personally, I believe we're all one. And so really, we are somewhat dependent on others to create what we want to create in life. I mean, without, you know, any business or anything, obviously, is dependent on its customers to be able to create what it needs to make it, you know, self-sufficient or... So obviously, but yeah, I mean, as far as the definition, I actually didn't share the definition. So I'm glad that you're bringing that up. But definitely, I think it's taking care of and the ability to take care of self, family, mm-hmm. and then also to support those that may not be able to take care of themselves. So I definitely see that as what I'm looking for in self-reliance.
Right.
And then just creating such an amazing sense of, again, the two values for me are the peace and the peace and freedom. So,
yeah. So I guess in regards to time again and that, unless I mean, I was thinking about that. So self-reliance in regards to money. I mean, a general definition that I guess in our church it suggests is that we have a certain amount set away just in case something comes up. But mm-hmm. I think there's so much more to that because. I believe part of it is also the confidence that we have within ourselves that as we move forward and as we go through our activities and the things that we need, knowing that the money is there to make things happen. In and moving forward in such a way then that it does. You know, it's that feeling deep down inside too, knowing that when we look at our plans or where we're going and the things that we want, that we have, having that confidence. I'm not sure if that comes across properly.
No, it does.
Because
no,
I think it's so much more than the actual money.
No,
but
it is. Well, it is. And that's the point. Self-reliance isn't about, because that's why I thought to talk about the emotional aspect of it all is really important. Because, again, if we are emotionally unstable consistently, and we really are, and I think that's what God was helping me with these last years, was to get my emotions in check. Because my emotions, I fought my emotions constantly. I was fighting them. And in fighting my emotions, I was also fighting money. I was fighting self-reliance. I was fighting responsibility. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? So for me personally, until I've started embracing my emotions, allowing them to flow through me, realizing I have pain and voice my pain, giving myself space, like in the I Love My Body diet, to have space to share all these things, to share my dreams, to share my visions, to share, just to be open and free to share some of that stuff. Until I was able to just embrace emotions and then see, okay, well, this emotion, I don't think I really need to have this out of control like this. I know I can do this with it. Has actually, I believe, allowed me to start making this plan. And I don't think last year, even this year, that I could have self-reliance be my phrase for the year. Do you know what I'm saying? Because my emotions are starting to be expressed in a healthy way in safe environments, I believe that this is even possible? And so I do think that there's, until we really face our emotional state and allow ourselves to get the support for that, or whatever that looks like, therapy, you know, I Love My Body diet, any other, there's so many different support systems out there. That's one of the number ones. I think it is number one. I mean, really, because even an emotional state, if I'm not letting them be, I can't even be connected to God. I can't feel God because my emotions are being stifled and shut down. And so I can't, my inspiration even is gone.
I was just thinking about how people sometimes can bring in that $1 million a year or whatever, but if they're not focusing their emotions, I mean, if they haven't let go the hurtful emotions or lived through them, gone through them, so that they can then embrace God or embrace the positive, the fact is usually those people are living on the edge anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're
exactly.
Still, I mean, I know people that make a lot of money, but they still, if something happened, if they were in a situation where it just crashed, they would not be self-sufficient. Mm. They could not do it.
Exactly. And that's the point, because that's why I think the emotional state, and that's what I was saying, I mean, you know, money is emotional and how we spend money, what we do with it. And so, again, if we're getting our emotions in check, I mean, I'm just using that, because in check means that we don't shove them down. We just allow them, and then we start understanding and having a relationship with our emotions and conscious relationship. Then as we do that, I mean, it's an automatic, I think automatically we start wanting, we start, because self-reliance to me is an automatic truth that our spirits and beings want to step into. But in the emotional roller coaster, we lose that. We lose sight, or we don't even see that truth. Or we get it, but we can't touch it. It's there, but we can't grab it, you know? So anyway, that's the first piece. So I want to go to the second piece, which is make a plan. And so to me, this is huge. And this is where the plan piece, and there's a lot of different amazing companies out there that support people to make this plan and to get us really clear. Actually, there's a guy that I met on the Periscope. I do an accountability scope live video over there every night at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And we just check in, and a guy that I met, Aaron, he is in Prime America. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but I've had a few friends that have been involved, and then they give you a real breakdown of the specific things to give you this financial security, financial independence, really. I mean, that's what we're looking for, and this self-reliance. And I was just going to share a few things. So obviously debt, and so making a plan around our debt and something that we really can sink our teeth into and feel really confident about. I think that's, for me, I've had a lot of fear. Well, am I doing this right or this right? How do I handle this debt? What do I do with it? Bankruptcy, no bankruptcy. I mean, there's been so many different thoughts. So I think prayerfully really figuring out where we go with that is really important. You know, life insurance, I think, is so important, and we don't have that, but I really do believe that life insurance is important as we create those investments and as we do the savings and get into really having a wonderful, you know, the eggs in different baskets of these investments that we can create. And so, again, I'm not going to go into detail about that. Actually, Tony Robbins has a really great book. I think it's just called Money. We have it. We went and bought it. And he talks all about savings and investments and different things. And so I definitely recommend that. And then so these are my two things that I feel are so important. The first one is, and I should have started with this, was like the tithing. So giving 10% to something that is outside of yourself. And so for me, I do that with my church. I give 10% of my income. And I can tell you that I think that this has kept me moving forward to shift, to actually get my emotions in check, to get to this point of creating more financial stability. Maybe it's taking me a little longer than some. And even these other pieces that I feel like God has been blessing me with because of this tithing that's 10%. But also, I think it, I don't know, I'm curious what you think, Colette, and if anybody else wants to share. What paying 10%, and I do that the very first thing, and then I pay, and then we haven't done this all the time, but then paying yourself 10% also, which would go into these different, you know, accounts, different savings accounts and things. But I'm curious your thoughts on the tithing.
I know that it's interesting. For anyone who's Christian, no matter what religion, Christian, and you believe in the Bible, we go in there and it does talk about the fact that if you give your tithing to God, then he will open up the heavens and he will pour down an abundance upon you that you won't even be able to count everything that he's giving you. And that right there is actually something when I have studied anything that has to do with having extra money or being set up, the big guys, and mm-hmm. when you talk about successful ventures, you know, Bob Proctor, Mary Morrissey, Jack Canfield, you know, when we go through all these different big names, that's one of the things they talk about, tithing, very, very important. Give that 10% first. Because when you do, it just comes back to you. And it's one of the biggest things. And sometimes you don't see it come back in the same way. But I know that every time I have done that, and it has been incredible to see the return that comes back. And so I have made it a habit, not just of tithing, but sometimes I'll even go further than that. It just depends on what I'm feeling at the time. But generosity, you know, I think it's part of that generosity. Uh-huh. When you're generous, when you're giving generously, then things come back to you generously. And so in that case, you are self-sufficient and you are able to, you know, you're just in that vibe.
I love that, Colette. And I think that that's so important. I do believe that that's, I was actually looking for my book. I had a little thing I was going to read out of there. Oh, there it is. Anyway, I just think that this is so key to our self-reliance. It's about giving. And it really is the giving-receiving cycle. And so, you know, if we let go of that 10%, that hard-earned money that we have been, and the next thing that we're going to talk about for a second is work. When we've been working so hard, I think that there is this beautiful energy exchange when we can give first, and it allows us, especially if we give without these attachments to it or anything. I know for me, when I've been able to do that and just let it go and know that it's part of, and actually be in gratitude that I can give that money or more. It, you know what, wherever you're giving that money, this is the beauty of it. You could be giving it, doesn't matter who, and maybe the whoever you're giving it to isn't even doing something great with it. But the point is, it's inside of us and our integrity and what we're, how we feel about it when we can just let go. And the lesson really is in ourselves. And I do believe that this is, that's one of the keys to being self-reliant and doing that. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Thank you. So I want to go to the next, because we only have a few more minutes. But so that's make a plan. And if you need to get some support with that, let me know. But definitely, you know, get these few pieces in order for next year. That's what I'm doing. And we're really going to make this plan. Now, the next piece is, of course, work. And I just love my, one of my all-time favorite books, if you guys have heard of it, it's Standing for Something by Gordon B. Hinckley, since passed. But Mike Wallace actually writes a foreword about this. It's the 10 neglected virtues that will heal our hearts and homes. This is like, this is one of my all-time favorite books. I've actually, my husband and I have created the Power Codes, which we haven't really gotten out, but we've done, I mean, these have been a couple years. I love these. And one of the things he talks about is work. And I just want to read really quick this little piece he talks about, or he reads. So it says, work is the miracle by which talent is brought to the surface and dreams become reality. There is simply no substitute under the heavens for productive labor. It is the process by which idle visions become dynamic achievements. I suppose that we are all inherently lazy. We would rather play than work. We would rather loaf than work. A little play and a little loafing are good, but it is work that spells the difference in the life of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. The children who are taught to work and to enjoy the fruits of that labor have a great advantage as they grow toward maturity. The process of stretching our minds and utilizing the skills of our hands lifts us from the stagnation of mediocrity. I love this. I am a work freak. You know what, I've heard in the world and you know, I've heard it so much that, you know, find ways to actually using, kind of shifting the word work. And I'm going to be honest, like, I actually love the word work, and I embrace the word work. And there was a time where I was feeling, like, almost embarrassed to say that I love the word work. I'm really going to, I mean, again, going to be honest with that. And because, you know, we just need to let things flow, and we don't need to work hard, and we don't need to do all that. Well, you know what? I get that. I get what, why people or why that is being expressed out in the world. But I will tell you, there is something so beautiful about creating a plan and getting to work. Because work to me personally means when I feel like crap, when I don't feel good, when my emotions might be a little bit imbalanced, my body might not feel that great, my things are going on like crazy, I'm confused. But if I still have that plan and I make and I work at it and I get to work, there's no words to express the stretching and the progression and the learning that happens inside of my soul. There's nothing that compares. So I love that he said there is nothing under heaven that can compare to doing work. And so that is one thing that I will have to say, and I'll probably get very emotional, that I have to thank my parents for. They showed me that you work hard. And that when you work hard, there are blessings that come. And so I absolutely love, love, love that. I don't know if there's anything you want to say about that real quick.
I just had a really quick thought on that. I said nowadays, I'll just make it fast. But nowadays, it seems like a lot of times I see people who say, let children play. Just let them play. Just let them play. Play is good, just like you said. But one of the things that I found, and I have 9 children, so I experience this all the time. When I actually work with my children and we get through, my children are happier than if they're just sitting around playing computer games or doing all this other stuff. The fact is if we can turn work into play, so to speak, not in a sense that we're not being productive, but in a sense where it is enjoyable and we can find a way to make sure our work is enjoyable, then that is the best thing in the whole world.
I love it. It's so, so true. I love that you said that, because that, to me, that is what happens. There's the hard part of work, and then there's the beautiful part of work is, I do feel like that's what starts happening, don't you? As we embrace work and we enjoy work, because again, we see the fruits of our labors. And so if we're not working and we're just sitting, like, we have a vision, with my girls, I want to be so much better at this, because it's something I'm not doing. I know I'm showing by example, I'm working hard, and I know they see that and they say that. But I want to take that to another level where I want them to also see how to take their vision, their desire, and then work hard at that to have a result. Because the results, even though we may not see them at first, to keep moving through it and keep making it happen is so, so important. And so I'm so glad you said that. And you're a great example of that, Cliff, for I mean, without a doubt.
Well, and I was just thinking oftentimes work for us will take longer if we are including our children in it. But in the long run, it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Like you said,
on that.
Well, I know for me, I had to clean our whole house this last week. And it was family home evening Monday night. And we decided Sunday that because I needed help. And we just decided we're all going to clean the house for family home evening for 2 hours. And everyone had such an awesome attitude. We wrote a list. We asked everybody, what do you want to do? What sounds fun to you? And we let the kids decide, and they worked. And it took 2.5 hours, and we cleaned the whole house. And
that's awesome.
It was all of us. And it was so fun. I mean, it really was fun, you know? And it went so fast, and it was like, holy cow. I mean, that brought joy. That brought peace, you
mm-hmm.
know, into our home. It really did. And it was fun. Again, they had a good attitude about it. We all did. That made a difference, too.
Well, just remember that sometimes they won't. They're important to have consistency in that.
Right.
Because
that's true.
But they will learn it if you take the time to keep working with
that.
Them on it and keep
so true.
It, you know, motivating. And
that's so true. So last piece that I want to talk about, and this to me is so, so important. And this, I would say, is one thing that God definitely has taught me. I feel like I have the work, emotional, and support thing down, and I'm working, I feel like, not down, but those are the things I've been working hard on and have been really integrating into my life and learning a lot, really educating. The plan part is the part that I feel like that's where I need some help with, as far as using that next piece. But the support, I just want to share that what I really wanted to talk about was with support. If you can get support for this, I believe, and I will tell I am in the grave, and then after, I'll be coming to people and saying, you got to do this mastermind. And I've talked about them so much. And the support, there's no words of what a mastermind can do for us to become self-reliant, because you're facing. So you're learning how to do win-wins, first of all. You are working, and you're getting accountability for that. You're getting emotional support, and you are being held accountable for your plan. So you're asked in a mastermind to create a plan. So here you are now, and whatever that plan is, wherever you're at in your life, but a mastermind literally allows you to hit all four of these spaces of emotional support, work, make a plan, and then emotional balance, and then the support. And so for me personally, that's why, I mean, honestly, I've been passionate about masterminds. I feel like we're creating this other leg of I Love My Body Diet of the process. We call them prosperity masterminds. And the reason is because it's going back to the self-reliance, that one of the keys is as we are really, it's more of a fullness, I think. The I Love My Body Diet, I believe, is a big piece. It actually, you can do all of these things, but we're getting more of that emotional support, I think, as number one in the I Love My Body Diet. And then we take the prosperity masterminds and we allow people to create this wholeness in their life. So that's why we're doing them. But anyway, I masterminds really are coming together and doing all of these things. And I could go into like a big old thing about it, but we don't have time. So I just wanted to share that would definitely be it. And we do have, for those of you, we do have the beta program, but it's on Periscope right now. We will eventually be launching something on Facebook where people can have more access to it, the Prosperity Mastermind. But do you have anything to share about that before we hop off, Colette, or anything else to add to what we've been talking about? I'm so glad you were on. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think you did a great job. I think this is just covering in general. I was thinking about your masterminds and how they are supported. But the other part is when we go through the initial part, is yes, we're doing our own part, but in that support, it means we actually do have help from other people in the sense of
mm-hmm.
ideas and focus
and
things that we might not have come up with ourselves. And so it helps us to move forward in a direction that we need to, so we can find even more resources. And that is, like, awesome.
Yes. And I, you know what I just have to say? That's self, that, when this goes back to what you were talking about at the beginning, self-reliance, it is our decision to get support. We can't, until we actually decide, because I do believe a huge piece of becoming self-reliant is getting the resources and the support outside of ourselves. And so I love that you just said that and ended with that. All right, you guys, thank you so much for being on the call. If you are just getting on, you can listen to the recording. It's going to be right here. We'll put the link on Facebook, and you can also go to theblogtalkradio.com/I Love My Body Diet. And we have all of our recordings. I don't even know. I think we have, I got to see how many episodes we've done. We might have done 100 so far. That'd be pretty cool. But Colette, I want to thank you for being on here. If you guys have any questions about any of this, let me know. But 2016 is going to be an awesome year. I'm super excited. I know we're only in November, but I'm already looking forward to it. So thank you, everyone. Love yourself. Love your body. Have a wonderful day today. We will see you Wednesday. And yeah, that's it. Thank you. Thank you. Bye, everyone.